Governor Sean Parnell told a convention room full of Alaska Natives yesterday something that they're keenly aware of. It's been a tough year for king salmon runs. Parnell was among the speakers in opening the annual convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives yesterday in Anchorage. The weak runs of king salmon that kept freezers low for subsistence fishermen is expected to be a key topic at the three-day gathering at the downtown Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center. The poor salmon runs led to bans that some native fishermen defied and to a federal disaster declaration. Those attending also called for more hunting and fishing rights so they could better pursue their subsistence lifestyle. Also yesterday, retiring U.S. Senator Daniel Akaka of Hawaii was honored for his years of championing tribal issues. About 25 subsistence fishermen along the Kuskokwim River will soon head to trial for alleged illegal fishing during closures this past summer. As Angela Denning Barnes reports, many of them are being represented for free by a civil rights law firm.
The first trial is scheduled for October 29th in the Bethel District Court. During a pretrial conference Tuesday, the fishermen refused the state's plea deals again and said they would rather go to trial than plead guilty for subsistence fishing for their families. A handful of fishermen are being represented by state public defenders, but most of them, 22 in all, are being represented pro bono by the Northern Justice Project, a private law firm focusing on civil rights cases. James Davis is an attorney with a law firm.
When we saw the Yupik fishermen being cited or arrested this past summer, it seemed to be outrageous.
Davis says he used to live in the Bethel area, which taught him how critical subsistence is for the Yupik people.
It's just too an important issue to have, I think, brave fishermen who have, you know, put themselves in harm's way to go to court without a lawyer helping them.
The 22 fishermen Davis is representing had their charges reduced to citations or violations and were not provided public defenders. Bethel District Attorney June Stein said the charges were reduced because those fishermen only committed the crime of fishing with wrong-sized nets. She says the other fishermen who are being represented by public defenders are being charged with misdemeanors for other fishing violations. Each fisherman will be tried separately. They are all being charged with illegal salmon fishing this past summer. Several villages up and down the Kuskokwim organized to fish on June 20th during a 12-day closure. Some fishermen were encouraged to do so by their elders. Some tribes drafted resolutions saying they had the right to fish as sovereign governments and sent them to state and federal governments. The fishermen contend that they were subsistence fishing for their families for their winter food supplies. The trials are expected to run through mid-November. In Bethel, I'm Angela Denning Barnes.
A former executive has been sentenced to more than 7 years in prison for his role in a multi-million dollar bribery and kickback scheme involving the awarding of government contracts. Harold F. Babb was sentenced in federal court in Washington, D.C. yesterday to 7 years and 3 months in prison. Babb, the former director of contracts and Alaska Native-owned small business, entered guilty pleas in March to bribery and unlawful kickback charges. He was arrested in October along with three other men, including two employees of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, in a scheme that prosecutors call the largest domestic bribery and bid rigging scheme in the history of federal contracting. The fraud involved contracts steered to favored subcontractors for kickbacks, contracts awarded through bribery, and phony invoices that were submitted for payment. Representative Don Young is running for his 21st term in Congress. He's running against long-shot candidate Sharon Cisna, who we heard from earlier this week. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, if Young wins re-election, he does not plan on changing his legislative ways.
If Representative Young wins and successfully completes his 21st term, he'll surpass former Senator Ted Stevens as the longest-serving Alaskan in Washington. The 79-year-old is currently the second-longest-serving Republican in the House, trailing Florida's Bill Young by a few months. That's because Don Young was first elected to Congress in a special election. He lost the preceding general election to Nick Begich, who died in a plane crash. Young says his 39 years in office are an asset. Longevity is just one attribute he says makes him suitable for another term.
Most of all, my diversity when it comes to the state and all that. This is not just Anchorage or Fairbanks, this is the whole state of Alaska.
That's a point Young loves to make, that he is an interior politician. And it's a point that rattles some Democratic operatives who worry their party is too focused on Anchorage and Juneau. His opponent, Sharon Cisna, lives in Anchorage. Young calls Fort Yukon his home, though he has a place in Anchorage as well. Cisna's campaign is a long shot by any measure, but that's not to say Young is taking it too lightly.
If I was to appear weak or I didn't have a big turnout, younger guys and the guys that want to take this job would say he's getting weaker, he's getting more mature, and you always have to worry about that. So I always plan, the next campaign is already being planned.
Young has the political savvy to keep as many people happy as possible. When asked what concrete plans he has for a 21st term, he spouted off a list of things he'd do, things that certainly will pique people's interests, like curtailing regulation, and specific proposals, like one for the state to try and take control of the national parks.
So it's more for Alaskans, not just for the tourists. I'm going to try to have some language that will take and expedite the process for Alaska Native people to be more capable of managing their own resources as the rest of the nation also.
Young knows people are constantly chattering about successors, and he says he has not found someone he's willing to clear the path for.
They want to be a congressman for just a short period of time and then become a United States senator or governor. And I'm saying, this is a job very important to Alaskans. That's one reason I've stayed in it, because I've enjoyed every day of it. I still enjoy the work.
Young says when he no longer enjoys it, it'll be time to call it quits. But he did not say when that might be. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
After days of steady rain, Sitkins turned out under blue skies and fresh snow on the mountaintops to celebrate Alaska Day yesterday. Commemorating the transfer of Alaska from Russia to the United States tops even the 4th of July for holidays in Sitka. The festival schedule this year was almost 3 pages long. But for most people, the Alaska Day Parade is the main event. This year, festival organizers honored the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Alaska Native Brotherhood as the theme. KCAW's Ann Bryce sent along this audio postcard, starting with the Mount Edgecombe High School's Inupiaq dancers.
The reason why we celebrate Alaska Day is because William Seward bought Alaska from Russia.
I'm really glad that we bought Alaska, because it's a really nice place.
Yeah, it is.
I can be loud when I want to be loud, because the drums are loud. I can be loud for a purpose.
I'm the Keystone Cop. I am a harbinger of the Alaska Day celebration. When you see us chicks around, you know that the celebration is here.
It's a great time to come out and celebrate our heritage and everything that makes this state great. It's just a lot of fun. The whole atmosphere, the whole community coming together and sharing what we enjoy here in the state.
An audio postcard from the Alaska Day Parade in Sitka. You're listening to Morning Edition here on K2.